All right, welcome back in, gang. 7:30, just about 7:39. And we welcome once again our official doctor of the WJG Morning News. That would be Dr. Keith Verbicki, who joins us once again. He's from Midwest Health Partners for Ask the Doctor. Dr. Keith, good morning.
Good morning, Jeffrey.
Well, great to have you here. First of all, let's introduce everybody to your two helpers here. Have them come up to the microphone here. I didn't tell them I was going to do this. I thought they'd chicken out if I did. Ladies, introduce yourselves.
Hi, my name's Anna Tisdall. I'm a Creighton PA student.
She's got a great radio voice, too, by the
she
way.
She does. My name is Jalen Dunham, and I'm a Union College PA student.
Union College. Okay, so Jalen, you're from Lincoln?
Correct.
You're from Lincoln, and yes. You are from?
Des Moines, Iowa.
Des Moines, Iowa. She probably doesn't say that very loud around here. I'm from Iowa. All right, girls, are you learning something from the good doctor?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. It's been such a fun month.
So, yeah, how long are you here? Are you here for a month, several weeks, or?
Yep, mm-hmm. 4 weeks for OBGYN.
So is this like clinicals? You go around and?
Yeah. They see patients with me. They go to the hospital to help me with surgeries, delivering babies. Mm-hmm. They're totally involved in patient care, and that's a great way to learn.
Yeah, well, from what we've learned from the good doctor, he's probably teaching you a lot of good things here.
Definitely.
And more of our young medical students need to have the knowledge that the good doctor does. So, ladies, thanks for coming in this morning. Really appreciate it. So we're going to talk about methylene blue this morning, doctor. So you asked me if I've ever heard of this, and honestly, I can't say that I have.
Well, you're not the only one, but it is a very old organic molecule. Actually, it was produced in 1876 in Germany by Heinrich Caro. And, it's a dye. It started out as a dye to dye clothing in the fabric industry. And soon after that, the scientists in the microbiology labs found that, man, this stuff stains bacteria, viruses, parasites, fungus, and it was a big, big advance in medicine that they could see these things under the microscope. Mm. And then one scientist discovered, and malaria was a very prevalent disease at that time.
Oh, yeah.
And they found that this molecule actually, not only can you see it under the microscope, but it kills the malaria parasite. Wow. So that led to World War II, our soldiers overseas were dying of malaria in Asia. And so the government mandated that the soldiers should put methylene blue in their morning orange juice, which they did, and malaria went away. So to this day, it is the treatment of choice. A derivative of it called chloroquine or hydroxychloroquine is the treatment of choice of malaria. So not only malaria, though, they have found over the years that this is such a potent antiviral, antifungal therapy. And, during our recent COVID epidemic, and this was not able to be known to the public, but it's a fact is fact, that if you expose COVID virus to methylene blue, within 2 minutes, it killed the virus. So it would have saved lives and lives and lives, and it did. People that take methylene blue on a daily basis for other conditions, they do not get viral infections. And we're not just talking COVID, we're talking the common flu, the influenza viruses, herpes virus, Ebola virus, Zika virus, hepatitis virus. It's a potent antiviral molecule. So if people are going to be exposed or are in an environment that, right now we're in this environment, that having methylene blue intake in our body is a very potent way of decreasing the risk of getting these serious viral infections.
So you have a bottle of it here in the studio. You say every medicine cabinet should have this.
I believe so, because when we're exposed to viruses, we start getting a cold. People can easily put some drops in their morning glass of juice or water and down the hatch. And the molecule is very interesting in that it seeks out where in the body that it needs to be. And within a matter of basically a day or two, if you're actually suffering of severe viral infection, it's gone. It kills the virus. Unlike any vaccines, it's not doing that, whereas a molecule like this really does.
Why didn't we hear about this, especially during COVID?
Well, in a roundabout way, we did. Remember, this is the parent molecule of chloroquine, hydroxychloroquine. And if you remember, our current president got COVID, and he was treated with chloroquine, hydroxychloroquine, and the doctors were criticized for doing that. But he was better, within 2 days. He was very sick and got better very quickly. And overseas, scientists were giving hydroxychloroquine for treatment of COVID. And it worked. It worked well. But we were not allowed to provide that therapy during that time.
So not to get too political, but why is that? What happens over here that this doesn't get to us?
Well, one hears that the pharmaceutical companies have a tremendous influence on medical therapies, and I think they obviously do, and that influences the ability to get information out and even to have access to sometimes these therapies. So to me, it points to, the too much power by institutions that are so financially driven to suppress sometimes our natural things that are available that really don't cost anything and are very effective and are very safe and don't have side effects, but yet are not allowed to get the information out to the public. And that's one of the thank you for letting us talk about things like this on our podcast.
That's been the overarching theme of this whole thing. When the doctor comes in here and talks, we learn about these things that used to be in our food supply. And what were we talking about here recently? Iodine.
Yes.
Used to be in a lot of our food supply, flour, things like that. And it just mysteriously disappears without us knowing it. And instead of getting that into our bodies just through eating, breads and anything made with flour, it just all of a sudden goes away, and it's substituted with, other things that down the road, all of a sudden there's side effects or we lose the health benefits of what was.
Yes. I think it's fascinating how this works. It's in the cells, the mitochondria, which produce our energy, and we get sick. All illnesses are metabolic dysfunction, intracellular. We get sick because our mitochondria are blocked by toxins, stress, radiation, bad water, bad air, etc. But the lack of energy production, this organic dye releases the inhibition at the mitochondrial level to allow the mitochondria to start producing energy. Now, if you talk about other illnesses, I think it's very important to know, cognitive decline, Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, multiple sclerosis, all these neurodegenerative diseases, these are all mitochondrial dysfunctional diseases, and clinical trials are showing that indeed methylene blue can help reverse. In fact, in an Alzheimer's trial, 85 weeks of daily therapy of low-dose methylene blue has completely reversed Alzheimer's disease cognitive decline. So, those are tremendous tremendous importance in today, where we have all these chronic illnesses in our society, and it's getting worse and worse.
I want to share something with you here. I was just reading this morning. Autism diagnoses jumped significantly from 2020 to 2022, and they've surged massively since the year 2000. According to the Centers for Disease Control, according to the report, an estimated 1 in 31 8-year-olds were diagnosed with autism on the spectrum in 2022. That's up from an estimated 1 in 36 2 years earlier. And the rate was just 1 in 150 in 2000. And by 2016, it was 1 in 54. Now, it might be maybe improvements in detecting ASD, but what we're talking about today, there's hope for autism here.
For sure. It's a metabolic disorder. It's a complex disorder involving the gut, which releasing endotoxin. We know that. But the toxicities lead to mitochondrial dysfunction, and there are trials with autism that indeed giving these people, these individuals affected with it, methylene blue, can help reverse and allow the brain, the nervous system to heal. Methylene blue prefers the heart and prefers the brain. And that when an area is diseased, is not functioning right, that's where it goes. It doesn't harm any cells that are abnormals, mm-hmm. but if they're lacking energy production, then that's where the healing goes. So tremendous importance in not only autism but potentially the other disorders, learning disabilities, etc., that are becoming so prevalent in our society. So very exciting. We're in that finally we're getting some interest in looking at more natural, safer ways of treating patients with these disorders that indeed heretofore what the pharmaceutical companies have given us really doesn't either work or has a lot of side effects.
You call it the great pain reliever as well. I have a wife who she's a fitness instructor, but at home she walks around with a lot of pain here and there.
Yeah, indeed. You know, arthritis and pain, where does it come from? You know, our cartilage, our muscles release a toxic gas called nitric oxide, and that creates a lot of inflammation. Well, guess what? Methylene blue blocks nitric oxide, knocks it out of the mitochondria, and it heals this. So I have a lot of patients with arthritis, you know, knees hurting, ankles, yeah. shoulders, et cetera, that taking methylene blue on a low dose on a regular basis will prevent their pain from their arthritis.
Wow. Where can I get methylene blue?
Well, it's readily available over the counter, but you have to be a bit careful in that you want USPA grade methylene blue, pharmaceutical grade, and okay. you want it to be manufactured in the United States.
we're kind of seeing the importance of that now, right? We need to make more things inside the borders of the U.S.
Well, some of it overseas, I guess, is pretty laden with heavy metals and something. Obviously,
we've
don't want to be
about
taking
that too.
It. Yes. So, but it's readily available. It's inexpensive, and the good news is low doses on a regular basis can really be life changing for a number of disorders.
How often should we take it?
I think as a maintenance, I take it on a daily basis, Monday through Friday, just like 8 milligrams a day, just in some water. Mm-hmm. When we get sick, you can up the dose, you know, to 16 milligrams, which is like 30 drops of this 1% solution. So various conditions, you know, it depends what you're treating. You certainly would want to visit with your physician about what you're doing and why you're doing it, etc. But to me, you know, it makes a lot of sense in the toxic pool that we're living in mm-hmm. that indeed people consider and learn more about it. We should all try to study these things ourselves, educate ourselves, and make a decision. Yeah, is this the right thing for me to try?
Yeah.
And that's what my goal is, to try and raise the education of people in some of these things.
That's what we're doing. If you got in on the last part of this here, we'll get this up on the podcast page. Go to WJG.com and then look for the doctor's picture and give that a click, and you'll find all of the programs that we've done. Going back to last spring, I think we've been doing this a full year now, Doctor, so appreciate you.
God bless.
As always, God bless. Yeah, we are out of time. That is this month's version of Ask the Doctor. He'll be back in again next month.